Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
We're gonna make it.
Hallelujah. No matter what it looked like tonight, we're going to make it to the other side. Amen. Welcome to the Turn on the Light podcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited you two in tonight. Amen. What an awesome day to be alive. Amen. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We give him honor. We glorify him because truly he is worthy to be praised. He does miracles so well. Hallelujah. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. Yes. Hallelujah. Had us to go out and come back in safe without hurt, danger, trouble, or sin. Hallelujah. That's a great day. Hallelujah. And we magnify him. And we glorify the Master. Amen. He is awesome in all his ways. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and our senior pastor is the awesome Bishop Kevin J. Jones. We love God, what he's doing with us. Amen. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Amen. And we are light of the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we are determined to see this world without darkness.
Yes.
Amen. There's a lot of darkness going around. There's a lot of sin going around, but the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And we know that the grace is of God, and we thank God for, amen, what he's doing with Light of the World and our mandate. Amen. We are determined to eradicate darkness in this world. And we're starting out with five cities around our church, and we are going out in the neighborhood and making sure that we cater to these people. Let them know that Jesus loved them, and so do we. Amen?
Amen.
So we thank God. We are in person at our location. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we have Sunday school, which is called Elevating Faith. That's we have that in the Jim Lee Smith Community Center, but we also have the men have their Sunday school class in the Fellowship Hall. Amen. We thank God for those men who are coming out, and those men who are not coming out, come on and share with us. Be in the midst. Don't just talk about it. Let's be about it. Amen. Come out and share with us. Amen. In the Fellowship Hall, where we are understanding the Word of God and we are growing. Hallelujah. Because Bishop Kevin Jones is teaching us on growth right now. Trust the transition, but we're dealing with growth. Hallelujah. We thank God for him growing us up in him, so he can be glorified and his kingdom can be advanced. Amen. We also have service at 10 a.m., our regular worship service. And we also have a Bible study on Wednesday, noonday, and 7 p.m. We have noonday and 7 p.m. Bible study. Come out and share with us. In noonday, we are in the book of Romans. Awesome book we just started. Amen. We finally got through with Acts. Amen, and learn some great things about how the Holy Ghost moves through us and with us and how we need to just let him have his way. Amen. So we thank and praise God for everything he's doing. We had an awesome time on last weekend where we had a church picnic. Amen.
Amen.
We had a great time, and we bless the Lord for all he's doing. Amen. With
Amen.
The world. And we thank God for you, and especially you tuning in tonight to hear a word of God. Amen. And be encouraged and be inspired. We do this. Amen, to encourage the people of God, because every time, there's some time on the weekend, we waiting for Sunday morning, but before, we may not survive Sunday morning, so hopefully we have something on Saturday night to help you go through, amen, for Sunday morning. And we love God for what he's doing with us and through us.
Amen.
So that's all our announcement we have, amen. We are grateful to God for allowing us to be here some 11 years doing this broadcast, and we thank God that we have been able to touch lives throughout the world. God has blessed us with our own ministry, Butterfield Ministries Worldwide. And so you can check our website out, butterfieldministryworldwide.com. And we love God. We thank God for what he's doing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. So tonight we have a man of God who's a member of Life World and a part of our minister staff. And he's Minister Joseph Jones. He's going to bring the word tonight. So thank God for him and me and my wife. We appreciate all those who are listening.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for you. We can't do this without you. We thank God for you.
Amen.
So we got to bring him live that he would introduce himself, give us a word, and let the Lord have his way. You are now live on the air, Pastor
Amen.
Jones.
Good evening. How you doing,
Pastor
Butterfield?
Doing great.
Well, we praise God for the blessed day that he allowed us to see. And we thank God for you all being obedient. I didn't know it was 11 years. Y'all been going strong. So, God, I hope we can bless you with another 1,100 more years. doing what you're doing for the Lord. It's a blessing because, like you said, sometimes we can't get to the house, but sometimes God makes house calls and bring the word to you if you can make it there. Technology is good in a lot of ways. So the Bible said we will have no excuse when the time comes when we meet our Maker, and he would be able to ask us why we didn't do what we supposed to have done, but we got the word. And we had different ways to receive the word. So we thank God for that. And we just thank God tonight. We give him honor, glory, and the praise that he deserves, because without him, we are nothing. And we could not do anything without him. Again, I just thank you all for tonight, for listening in. And we're going to get right into the word. It's going to be taken from Exodus, the 30th chapter, the first 5 verses. For you Bible studies out there, we know that you already know what this passage of Scripture says, and we'll be reading out of the King James Version, and right after the Scripture reading, we'll go to a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our word. Exodus 3:1-5, as the King James Version reads as follows. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The last verse. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. I'd like to use it for a subject tonight. May I have your attention? Now, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We ask you, God, that you would use me as a messenger, Lord, and that you will fill me continuously with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will speak to me, Lord, through me, and, Lord, share the word of God to the people that might hear. And, Father, we ask you to bless those people tonight who took time out to hear your word, God, not to hear me, but to hear your word, God, and use me as, again, lips of clay and a person to deliver this word, Lord, that it will be a blessing to them for the rest of their lives. Lord, we thank you, God, for all that you're doing. Lord, use my gifts that you've given me to spread your gospel, Lord, and that those will be receive this word, Lord, will be blessed. Father God, we thank you for the Butterfields. Lord, we ask you to continue to keep them and strengthen them, Lord, God, and bless them in a mighty way to continue on this broadcast, Lord, that you've given them this platform to do so. And, Lord, we thank you, God, for all those who are listening. And, Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say that this sermon will be called May I Have Your Attention, Please. Now, my assignment tonight is not to remind you of the story how God used Moses to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery and from Egypt. This is not about that. But to the more to the fact that how God used the burning bush to get Moses' attention. So anytime there's an important message or an important announcement to be made, the announcer will say and start off with a statement will be, may I have your attention, please? And then the person will give you the information needed to the people. And you knew it was something of importance because the first statement that came out of that person's mouth was, may I have your attention, please? Mm-hmm. See, naturally, when a baby cries, the child wants the attention of the parent, either to be fed, to change them, or simply just they want to be held. But anyway, mm-hmm. you look at it, they want your attention. And so even when a police officer was doing a traffic procedure, and watch this, he does it to get your attention by blowing the whistle to make sure you are following directions. Well, there is no mm-hmm. difference when God wants your attention. God will use anything to get our attention. People use small things as a bus running late or interruption of a TV show. But the good thing is that the Bible says in Romans 8:28, it all works out for our good. So there's no reason to get mad when you get a flat tire because it works out for our good. You know, that flat tire could have kept us from getting in an accident or some other things. And then there's a song called What the Lord Allows Means Everything to You by Dwayne Harvey. See, this song tells me that God knows what he's doing, and his timing is perfect. And there's no setbacks, there's no delays or mishaps. So, again, when things happen in our life, we don't need to get upset. See, I believe through COVID-19, God allowed it to happen to get our attention back on what was really important, not to continue to live a Christian life in a redundant way or just going through the motions of having church. We have come so complacent in serving God, and we're going through the formalities of just showing up to church every Sunday, as my old pastor would say, just to check the box so we can feel good on Monday morning when the week starts. So we need to get out of that. But God really wants to put us, God really wants us to put him first and allow his spirit to dwell in us. And see, this will allow us to be have a better relationship with him and to help others mm-hmm. who are in need to be delivered, healed, and set free. See, the Bible makes mm-hmm. it plain in Matthew 6:33. It says, but first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, put first things first, which is Christ, and then he will equip you to assist others. See, I hope by now I have your attention. So let's go to the scriptures right quick. Moses was doing his job as a sheep herder and minding his own business, not knowing what was about to happen to him that would change his life forever. See, in verse 1, where we see God send an angel to appear to Moses while he was attending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the mountain. Now, this is the first encounter or introduction to Moses from God. Yeah, I want you to notice three things in this first verse. Notice these three things. First of all, Moses was being active in his daily life. He wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. And see, this is where some of the Christians get in trouble at. We are not active in the body of Christ. See, we just pay our tithes and then sit on our rusty dusty until somebody asks us to do something. That's not how it should be. See, as Christians, we should be a part of ministries in the church. See, the Bible makes that plain in Ephesians 4:11-12. He said, God give us different positions. You know, he gives us preachers and teachers and apostles and all these other positions, but it's for perfecting other saints. So therefore, we should be eager to use our gifts to help others. And then the second thing in that first verse, God called Moses to the mount. Here's where God sees, so here we see God resting upon the mountain. In verse 3 and 1 in Exodus, you'll see it again in verse, chapter 4 and verse 27. And then you'll see again the mountain of God in chapter 18 and verse 5. This is the meeting place of the holy ground, where we reverence God as he sits high and watches over us. But what I really want you to know is sometimes we need to leave our common ground and go to the holy ground so God can have our full attention. And so then here again, we have to understand, that thirdly, that it was a personal experience that Moses had with God in that first verse. See, no one else can stand in or take your place when it comes to being in God's presence. And then as you look at verse 4, here it is when God speaks to Moses from the bush. Again, God can't speak to us if he doesn't have our attention, nor if we're not paying attention. Again, we're talking about getting in the presence of God, that, which brings me to my first point. How can we hear from God? Well, first of all, we got to get in his presence. We have to learn how to get in God's presence by submitting ourselves to him and being humble. We must take away our own agenda. And remember what the Bible says, it's not my will, but let God's will be done. See, we have too much fleshly estate in our lives because we want it like Burger King. We want it our way. And God never had a drive-through or a fast food of faith for our lives. See, he made this thing the way he wanted to because he is perfect and he has all things from the beginning to the end taken care of. So we need to ask God to remove all distractions around about us and learn how to have some quiet time and give God honor through praise and worship. See, this is how we get in the presence of him. And then there's just a few things how to enter into God's presence. See, in order to hear from God, you must be in his presence. See, there's, let me show you an example how we have to do get in God's presence. It's just like on the natural. There's no different when we were dating. Oh, y'all know about this. When we wanted to be in the presence of our significant other and hoping time would never be a factor. Man, we could never get enough of that person. Nothing else mattered, and we was not concerned about anything around us. We just wanted to be with that person and never wanted to leave their presence. And you could not spend enough time alone with them. Well, what I want you to understand, this is the same way we should feel about God and how God feels about us. God wants that one-on-one time with us, just like as Courtney Cortez wrote, one-on-one time with Jesus. See, the Lord, he wants to spend time with us, and that intimate and personal time with God is so important. This is why Moses had to come to the mountain where God was to get off the common ground to go to the holy ground. And then the second thing that we need to do to get in God's presence is communication. We need to learn how to communicate with God. This is so important. The definition of communication is the imparting or exchanging of information, sending or receiving information. This is what happens when we are in his presence. God is imparting to us, his people, wisdom, knowledge, and revelation of his word. And see, God is giving us instructions on how to handle different situations. God has given his people insight and information how to be successful, successfully, naturally, and spiritually. But we can't do that unless we are in the Spirit of God and we have received that information and communication through his Holy Spirit. See, we have to commune with Christ. The word commune means to focus on God, converse, talk. Or often, we need to do this with profound intensity. See, intimate communication or rapport as sharing your heart and mind with God in prayer. It is through daily prayer we communicate to God, and this is the key. Look at verse 5 and verse 10 in Exodus, the third chapter. In verse 5 and 10, shows us the instructions from God to Moses. But how did Moses get that instruction? Because he was in his presence, and he learned how to communicate. So what happens is, but sometimes we have a problem with that. And the reason why we have a problem because we can't hear from God is because we're too busy doing all the talking. See, communication should be a two-way street. But if we are petitioning God, most of the time we are doing more talking than listening. See, the Bible says that Matthew 6 and 8, he says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." So why do we petition God in our communication, asking God for all these things if he already knows what we need? Again, we need to do more listening than talking. In other words, just hush your mouth, stop talking, and ask him for a bunch of stuff and listen to what God has to say to you. Can I give you an example of what happens when you listen to the Lord? I was on the job for 3 months, and I got laid off. But when the company tried to bring me back, God told me, this is what happens when you listen to God through communication. God said, stop trying to get your job back and just shut up. Then once I received the info and obeyed the instructions, look what happened. I received 6 weeks unemployment, 3 weeks of severance pay, 2 weeks of vacation pay, plus my regular paycheck, all in 2 months. In other words, what I'm trying to say is I made more money in those 6 weeks than I did the 3 months I was there. See, this is what happens when you just shut up, listen, and be obedient. So that's what Moses was doing. Moses was in God's presence. He communicated with God. But then the third thing we need to do is meditate. See, meditation is key too. We need to learn how to meditate on God's word. We need to be focused. We need to read. We need to study and follow the instructions. See, meditation means to reflect on or contemplate or think. Look at Psalms 1 and 2. The Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night." Now, who is he? That's us, really. We meditate on God's word. Then look what he said to Joshua, Joshua 1 and 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Now, I don't know about you, but those two scriptures prove to me that meditation is very valuable because it gives you insight, and it'll prosper you in every way, again, naturally and spiritually. So Moses, it wasn't about Moses going to deliver the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, but God had to get his attention first to bring him into his presence to communicate with him, and then Moses had to meditate on what God had said. Look, let me give you some examples out of my life again. On April 14, 2003, when I was in Afghanistan, I went to the hospital for 7 days, and I thought I was dying. And all it was anxiety and high blood pressure and just ready to get out of that war zone. And there I received Christ as my personal savior because God got my attention. He had to use that to get my attention. Some things people have different ways God will use to get attention. Then another time God used something to get my attention. I was at a traffic light in Stone Mountain on the corner of Redan and Covenant Highway, and God told me to turn my car around to go see a friend of mine named Carlos. And he's been asking about me because he had some issues about his marriage, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And I was going to go home. See, God, I was in his presence, and God was communicating with me, but I wasn't being obedient. But when God told me to turn that car around that third time at that red light, I was obedient. And that through that obedience, I met my wife. See, we can miss out on our blessing, y'all, because we're not in the presence of God. We're not communicating with God, and we're not meditating on God's word. See, we need all three components to make this work. Leaving one out or the other won't make it work out in your favor. God truly wants to spend time with us. He is waiting anxiously to spend time with his children because he wants to impart wisdom. He wants to give us witty ideas to make us successful and have us have a great relationship with him. See, it's a benefit. You know, God does not just want your time just be having wasting time. You know, he wants to impart in us these things to bless him and bless us. And see, God wants to show us these things to come to show us how to prepare for them when they show up. Isn't it amazing how God uses the Holy Ghost to bring all things back to our remembrance? You know, but he uses these things because he's telling us, hey, I need your attention. And see, God will never force himself on you. Either you want to spend time with him or not. My dad told me one time before, Pastor Butterfield, I know you'll get a kick out of this. My dad took one time, he said, listen, he said, why are you keep calling that girl back? If she missed the time, she's supposed to call you. If it was important, watch this now, if it was important for her to talk to me, she would have forgotten what time she's supposed to call me. In other words, my dad was saying, if it's something important to you, you will never get too busy or forget what you're supposed to do. You'll make that call sooner or later. What I'm saying is that whenever something's important to you or you have a priority in your life, it will take precedence in your life. If that girl really wanted to talk to me and she's going to call me at 6 o'clock, she would have called at 6:05 or 6:10. My dad said, why do you keep calling her? But he was trying to show me something. He was showing me something that was important to you, you won't forget. And so this is the same thing. No one have to tell you to breathe in and out. That's important to you. No one have to tell you to eat if you want to stay alive. That's important to you. So in the same manner, God wants us to come to him with the same mentality that we need to eat his word and allow him to breathe on us. We need to learn how to get in his presence. We need to learn how to communicate with him. We need to learn how to meditate on his word. Look what 2 Timothy 2:21 says. We need to meditate on this word. If a man therefore purges himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and this is a good thing right here, meet for the master's use, and prepare for every good work. See, when we meditate on this thing, God is saying, He wants to shape us and mold us so God can use us. We need to meditate on that fact and understand that God is saying, what I'm trying to put in you, I will bring out of you to use in your life. See, we can't do God's will without getting in the presence of God and communicate with him through prayer and meditation on his word for instruction. So I just want you to understand tonight, when God is telling us tonight, may I have your attention, please? He really wants to download the 411 in our lives to make us have a blessed life and to have a life that's blessed for you and your family. So the next time you hear someone over the loudspeaker or the microphone and say, may I have your attention, please, ask yourself, is God trying to get your attention? See, some people have to go to jail for God to get his attention. Some people have to, I had a friend of mine, and he was telling me this before he got saved. He got a young lady pregnant. He was only 19. And he told God, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And God used that to get his attention. Yes, the girl did not come up pregnant. And then if she lied about it, it doesn't matter because the point was, God used that to get his attention. Now, he'd been saved since he was 19. I think the guy's probably about 42 now. And so God uses different things to get our attention. And a lot of times we think it was a coincidence or
we just look at it as, oh, that was just something that happened. No, no, God don't waste no time. God does things to get our attention because he has some plans for us, and he has some things that he wants us to do. And he has a plan for our life. But if we never get in the presence of God and get in, as our pastor tells us, get in the vein of God and get in alignment with God's word, we would never be able to communicate with him because of the fact that we got our own agenda. And then we have to meditate this thing because we have to ponder and think about it. Say, Lord, what are you saying to me? And how does this apply to my life? See, you know, it's funny that we can go and take schoolwork and go to college and take stuff from our job. And we can study that with no problem. We can meditate on that word and try to get an A. But when it comes to God's word, we kind of get lax. Well, I won't say everybody, but some of us get lax on it because we take it for granted that God is just going to give us what we need all the time. God just want to know sometimes, are you really enthused about serving me? Are you really serious about learning who I am? And are you serious about living a life of godliness? Because you just can't do it just by reading God's word one time. That's why the Bible says, meditate therein night and day. And lastly, God says to the people, he told the people of Israel, he said, teach this to your children. And what was so crazy about that scripture, he said, tell it to them when they're coming in and tell it to them when they're going out. Tell it to them when they are up and tell them until they're laying down. That means when they're walking around, when they sleep, give them God's word to meditate on. Give them the law, the law of liberty, which is salvation, and tell them about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So they'll know these things even in their sleep. They'll dream about it, you know, about Christ. And so when they meditate on it, they'll know God, again, will use the Holy Spirit to bring it all back to their members. So I'm here to tell you tonight that God does not waste time, and he does not do things just to be doing it. What he's saying is, may I have your attention, please. I hope tonight you got a word tonight to carry with you, and I hope that you can reflect back on your life and think about some things that happened. Why did I get laid off from that job? That job was my God, and then God used it to get my attention. I think COVID-19, I hope and I pray that COVID-19 got all Christians' attention, that we need to get back into really studying and praising God and living for Christ the way we're supposed to. My dad said something to me a long time ago. He said, well, he was telling the people in the congregation, he said, when black folks didn't have education, didn't have no money, we knew how to serve God. But as soon as we learned how to read and write and make a couple of dollars, we forgot all about God. And that's so true, because think about it. We think sometimes our money and our education is more important than what God has given us to learn about him and through his word. So again, tonight, think about what God used to get your attention to bring you back to him, because he really misses your company. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Jones. I tell you, that's a good word. And definitely we need to pay attention to God and what he is saying. And a lot of times, like what you were saying, is a lot of times we just pray, get up and go on about our business. Don't listen to see what God is saying to us. So it is very important that we pray. Pray without ceasing. Of course, you don't have to be on your knees praying in order to pray without ceasing. You can be in a prayer or just in a song. But I tell you, that is really awesome that you use this topic tonight. May I have your attention? I mean, it is very important that we allow the Lord to really use us. And so tonight I want to allow the callers to elaborate on the word, or if they just want to give a comment or whatever. If you press one on your phone, we would bring you live on the air, because I know this is an awesome word for all of us, and I believe that each and every one of us has something that we would like to share, or either you want to ask Mr. Jones a question or whatever. But if you would like to, just press 1 on your phone and we will bring you live on the air. And Mr. Jones, I was just thinking about the fact that you say you're using as your topic, may I have your attention? And I want you to elaborate just a little bit more concerning the fact that if it's a young kid, like in school, and computer and everything got their attention, because a lot of times the kids are on the computer at school doing their work, but a lot of times we are learning when we were doing virtual learning with the kids a few months back, they would tell me they are finished, but the parent being gave me a schedule, and at a certain time they're supposed to be on their computer working, but a lot of times I would check on them and they say, oh, I'm finished. So can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes ma'am. Let me say this first. You know, a lot of times our attention span is short, especially when it's on something that we really don't want to do.
Don't want to do.
Or something that doesn't interest us. I hear people say a lot of times, I binge watch a TV show. They watch all the episodes because that was something they wanted to do. And for the young people, that technology, you know, technology is good and it has its place. But the problem with it sometimes, our parents, as parents, we allow our kids to be babysitters by technology, TVs and computers and phones and all that, and we're not monitoring what they're doing. And so what the kid does, he knows how to manipulate that. He knows that if he got the laptop up and he's acting like he's paying attention, you don't even know what he's watching. He could be watching cartoons, and he's supposed to be getting his schoolwork. And so the kids that are doing these things, you're hurting yourself, because what is happening is you're robbing yourself of those things that need to be imputed in you for a later time. And so I tell young folks all the time, we need to learn how to communicate with our mouths and not with our thumbs. You know, I heard a teacher tell me one time before, she said, the kids' schoolwork has gotten so bad that they are texting their assignments instead of writing their assignments out. And so that comes from the parents not looking after the kids and making sure their work again accomplished properly. Because again, we're allowing the babysitter to be the TV and the telephone and the computer. And so we need to learn how to. It has to be a balance. The parents have to check behind the kids, and the kids have to want to learn for themselves. Because after a certain point of time, Mom and Daddy is not going to be there. And so now you're going to have to learn how to do these things for yourself. But if your attention is not on the right things, you're going to miss out. You know, I had a bad habit. I had a bad habit. I got it from the military. And it's called skim reading. And you skim over the information because, you know, those manuals, instructions, anybody been in the military knows those things are long. So you skim for certain words. And I had to catch myself, Pastor Butterfield, because I would do the Bible the same way sometimes. You know, I'll just read it and not read it for information. I'll read it just for saying I read it for reading's sake. And so I had to learn how to slow down and read it with comprehension, to receive comprehension, that is. And to then meditate on it, because what is it really saying to me? And so again tonight, you know, a lot of times we get in trouble because we're so busy, like you said, we're so busy trying to do what we need to do and pray and rush and then get up and go about our daily business and forget about what God says.
But what God was trying to say, he was like, and we said, amen. God said, and we said, amen. So we cut him off before he could finish or before he could start telling us what we could say, what he needed to say. So again tonight, we have to stop being in a rush to do things. We need to slow down a little bit and learn how to get it in the presence of God and not let so many things around us distract us from being who God wants us to be.
Amen.
Amen. You know, when you talk about distraction, back when I was in high school, back in the 70s, our headmaster, we call him in the Bahamas, and y'all call him principals. But one of the kids was ran into somebody because he wasn't looking where he's going, right? So this saying always stuck with me since way back then. He said, look where you're going or go where you're looking.
Right.
That thing stuck with me all these years because you cannot do both.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we try to do both. We try to go one way and look in the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a driver who's driving, looking in the rearview mirror as opposed to looking in the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why the rearview mirror is so small compared to the windshield is because they don't want you to stare at the rearview mirror. They want you to glimpse there, but they got the big old windshield for you to focus on and focus going ahead. And so sometime in life, we get distracted with a whole bunch of stuff that's going on rather than the main thing. And I heard somebody say that we major in the minors, things that really don't matter.
Yeah.
We focus on that, and we make that a big issue when it really doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if in relationships whatever, we make small things big because we have got distracted on what we really should be focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
So focus is really the key, and that's how God has to get our attention because we're not focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's telling us, Either look where you're going, or go where you're looking.
It's
not you gonna have an accident.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Mr. Jones, you know, we when we had virtual learning before school started, I thought I really had a down pat what I should have been doing with the kids because the parents gave us a schedule and everything. I had this little kid in there one of the kids that was in there, one day she asked me a question about her work. And she said, this is where it comes in at having attention, paying attention. May I have your attention? That meant I need to be really, really paying attention because these, like you said, these kids, they something else. They little cunning. So what she did was she said, Pastor Ann, I need your help. I need you to help. Can you help me read this and get the answer? And so that's when we read the question, and I said, ask your teacher because I didn't want to get around in front of the computer. Because, you know, the teacher be on as well. So I was saying, I can't talk to my teacher now. She called it something. She had a name for it that the teacher could not come and talk to her at the time. So it was kind of like, it left up to you, Mr. Ann, to help me. And so I said, okay. And so what I did was I went on and I said, okay, and I ended up answering that question. And then, so she said, again, I got this one. I read this one. I read this. Let me tell you, guys, it was about four questions that I really answered for this child. And then she really came back later on to let me know that she had conned me. Because she was like, the teacher couldn't come on the phone. I didn't know. You answered those questions for me, but I was on a test. She was doing a test. She was really doing a test. And I should not have been answering the questions for her, just like the teacher is saying, I'm not going to answer the questions for you. You're going to have to take this. That's just like being in the classroom and you're having to take a test. Ain't nobody giving you the answer. But, man, she hadn't gotten no answers out of me that day. And, I mean, I thought about that for so long. Because,
but
really,
you know,
she had
it's,
just...
It's amazing.
Huh?
It's amazing because... You know, Bishop preached one time. He said, you don't have to teach a baby how to lie. It just comes natural. You know, some things they learn how to do, you know, at a young age. And it's amazing because I used to use that same analogy. You know, when I used to get in trouble in school, I used to tell my mom and dad that the devil made me do it. You know, so I don't – and who taught me that? Well, my dad used to say that to himself.
Hey, Mr. Jones.
But that was
that wasn't a work at my house because my mama said she would beat the devil out of me.
But the point I'm making is we come up with stuff that we didn't have to even to study about it. It was just naturally in us. Look at the Bible. Just look at the Bible. How many times has God used different things to get our attention? Remember the man was on the horse going a certain way, and God told him not to go, and God had to use the donkey to speak to the man. He said, why the heck you beating on me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to save your life, Negro. He said, don't you see the angels up there with them lightning bolts and swords? If you keep going this way, you're going to get me and you killed. But it got his attention, didn't it?
Exactly.
And then look at Moses again. When God told Moses how to go through the wilderness, he used a cloud by day and a cloud by night. He got his attention with that. And then I can give you so many examples. Look at the man who was in the cave. And God told God, if this is really for me to do, he said, make it rain on the ground, but in one spot, make it dry. I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, and then when he got up the next morning, well, God did it for him. He told him to do the opposite. And he was saying, God, come on now. Help me out, Lord. And God said, I got your attention, but I need you to do it.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know what's crazy about the whole thing is we, nine out of ten times, we know what we're supposed to do. And we don't do it because it don't fit our agenda. And God has to get our attention sometimes and say, listen, I love you so much. I'd rather for you to lose your job, for you to sit home and show me I can bless you if you just pay attention. Because I'm trying to get you off that job. You know, it's funny because remember me and Sister Taylor was telling the congregation God told us to leave that job, a perfectly good job.
Right.
And God was telling me to leave the job, told her to leave the job. And I'm saying, God, come on, man. It can't be you telling me to leave a job. But it was for my good, because Bishop was just preaching about that job could have killed us. That job would have hit us all strung out and stressed out and, you know, could have gave us a heart attack or a stroke. And God was saying, I need to get your attention. So what I have to do is turn on the fire. Every time you go to work, it's going to be an issue. Every time you go through something, it's going to be an issue. And it's going to be at work. So you're going to get another time. And let me tell you something. When I wrote that resignation, you thought an elephant was off my back, because the relief I got when I wrote that resignation to turn it in to leave that job, I knew that was God telling me it was time for you to leave. He got my attention. And I thank God for it. Cause so sometimes we miss it. We miss it because we're so busy doing what we want to do and want what we want.
Amen.
But
Amen.
But Sister Butterfield, I hate to say that little kid played you, though.
Keep going. Oh, and you know what? Let me tell you, I would not forget it either.
Hey,
I will not forget that.
Yes.
It was a message to me, and I will pay more attention to what they are doing. I thought I was paying attention to what they were supposed to do. I'm going by what was written on that paper, but the thing is, I need to really pay attention to the fact of just come on around and look on their computer and see what's going on, and look at the paperwork and see if they doing a test, because it may have said she was doing a test. If I had looked at the computer like I should have instead of just looking at the question and answering the question. But she was telling me I didn't understand that, why she wasn't able to talk to the teacher. But I just let it go. So now I know.
Minister Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
She tried the same thing with me.
She tried it with you.
I thought I told you. She tried the same thing with me, but I know she was in class.
Uh-huh.
And I said, let the teacher help you.
Right.
And she said, she can't help me. And I said, well, that's what she's getting paid for. Let her help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, because I was busy with something or whatever, but that's what I told her. And then she said, well, she can't help me because it's a test.
That's what I'm telling you, Mr. Jones. After the fact, she told me it was a test.
When she realized I wasn't going to help her, and I said, your teacher getting paid to help you, so I know she going to help you. That's who's supposed to be, not me. I'm not supposed to be helping you.
Right.
And she said, well, she can't help me right now. I said, well, why she can't help you? I'm doing a test.
No, she told me to do a test.
Bye-bye.
But anyway, praise God. May I have your attention.
Amen.
So God wants our attention. So in order for us to do his will, we got to allow him to come in and talk to us, the Holy Spirit. Pay the Holy Spirit some attention so that the Holy Spirit can come in and talk to us. We have to get in his presence first.
Amen.
So we got to get in the presence of God and allow God to do what he wants to do through us.
Amen.
And he was talking about the fact of take away our own will, allow our own will to just, allow God's will to come in and take control. And if God's will come in and take control, then he will get our attention. We'll get what we need from him. And he will get what he needs from us. And so
we
just bless the Lord tonight. Thank you so much for the word.
Amen.
We appreciate it.
Amen. So we want you to give any final word that you have for the audience tonight, ensure them that God is trying to get our attention. And we thought COVID was over, but it looked like it's starting back over. So apparently he didn't get some people's attention yet. And so he's working on getting it now. Any final words for our audience?
Yes. As you said, Pastor Butterfield, just like you said, when the people of Israel didn't hear God when he spoke to Moses, and he used Moses as his mouthpiece, God had to allow them to go down the mountain a couple more times. A couple more times, mm-hmm. ended up 40 years. So mm-hmm. God had to get our attention because we was not paying attention to him. And
mm-hmm.
I'll be the first one to tell you, sometimes I do it. God said, just do this, and I'm like, oh, okay. But see, God is so loving, and he's so merciful that he don't punish mm-hmm. us, and he don't, every time we do something wrong, he would say, okay, I'll let you do it, and then see how that work out for you. And then what we
mm-hmm.
do is go right back to where we started at, back to the mountain, going back to God and say, hey, what is it that you want us to do? And so for tonight, y'all, for those who are listening, don't take it vicariously that these things are happening in your life. And God is using those to get your attention. And it could be as simple mm-hmm. as you can't get that job that you wanted to have because it's not
mm-hmm.
for you. Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's not the pay is where he wants you to be at. Because sometimes
mm-hmm.
the people who might need you might not be in that place that where you want to be at. And so,
yes, I know
we need jobs, we need certain things, and we want certain things, but I'm learning how to be patient and trying to get in the presence of God more and more because these things are so important. Again, like Pastor
mm-hmm.
Butterfield said, he said this stuff, the Delta variant is coming out because I believe that people have not realized that we need God. And I thank God because think about it. Bishop Jones told us one time before, he said we was in different places and all the other, and we could accord it and didn't even know it. Because God's mercy and his grace upon our life, he protected us.
That's
and because we are being obedient to his voice and what he has us to do. So tonight, y'all, I just want to say, if God has been speaking to you, speaking in your heart and tugging on your heart,
to do a certain thing, just go ahead and do it. It's going to be a blessing for you. It's going to be a blessing for you and your family. And then for those who are not saved and God is tugging at your heart, that's really the first start. To recognize he's trying to get your attention to tell you, I love you enough to send my son to die for your sin so you wouldn't have to die and pay the price.
Right.
So tonight, I just would like to pray and say, God wants our attention, and we're going to say, as Moses said, here am I. And we'd like to pray tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we come to you tonight. Lord, just ask you to forgive us for anything we said, done, and thought. Lord, please forgive us for not paying attention to when you wanted our attention, Lord. And teach us how to reverence you and get into the presence of you, Lord, so we can communicate with you and you can communicate with us and we can listen and hear what you have us to say. And Father, we'll meditate on your word and we'll do what you ask us to do. And God, we'll be, again, pleasing your sight and meant for the master's use. And Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to share your word. Thank you for those who listen tonight. Father, take us the way you need us to take us, and that we'll be who you want us to be, and we'll do what you have us to do. And we'll continue to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to say, if Pastor Jones is on the line tonight, we just want to say thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We know you didn't come on and say anything, but we want to thank you so much for being on tonight, if you're on tonight.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
No, Pastor, your dad.
Oh, my father.
Your dad.
Oh,
your father.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Dad Jones.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much. Thank you, Minister Jones, for this awesome word, and we thank God for all of you who are listening tonight. We pray that this word will find you and you are strengthened, amen, to recognize God is trying to get your attention.
Amen.
There was a song in the book we said, God is trying to tell you something. Amen. You see we have somebody. We got somebody in queue. Your area code is 757. The last four digit is 2869. You're now live on the air.
Just wanted to thank you for the beautiful message. Yes, he does want our attention. This is Dorothy Jones and Pastor Jones, and we so enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Awesome. Great to know you guys are there. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We appreciate you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good night. God bless.
Good night.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much. So we want you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends that every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn of the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.